JC Corcoran Podcast.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know that JC is out there running his mouth. Let me read you a comment that he left to someone. Hello, Beth, you Nazi cow.
Nobody can do it like me. Nobody.
Nobody does it better.
Nobody can do it like me. Honestly.
Though sometimes I wish someone could.
Nobody's stronger than me.
Nobody has better toys than I do.
No.
Nobody builds walls better than me.
Why'd you have to be so good?
There's nobody bigger or better at the military than I am.
Nobody loves the Bible more than I do.
Whenever you hold me,
nobody's better.
There's some kind of magic inside.
But nobody even understands it but me.
That keeps me from running.
Nobody's better.
But just keep it coming.
I know what it means.
Nobody's fighting for the veterans like I'm fighting for the veterans.
Nobody does it better.
There's nobody that's done so much for equality as I have.
Makes me feel safe for the rest.
There's nobody more conservative than me.
Nobody does it half as good as you.
Nobody would be tougher.
Baby, baby.
Nobody knows more about trade than me.
There is nobody that respects women more than I do.
Nobody's ever had crowds like Trump has had.
There's nobody that understands the horror of nuclear better than me.
Nobody knows the game better than I do.
Nobody in the history of this country has ever known so much about infrastructure as Donald Trump.
I know the H-1B. I know the H-2B. Nobody knows it better than me.
Nobody knows politicians better than I do.
Nobody knows more about taxes than I do.
Nobody knows more about debt than I do.
Nobody knows the system better than me, which is why I alone can fix it.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Back home and in the saddle for Thursday, August 5th, 2021, here at jcontheline.com. You have the JC Corcoran Podcast. Yep, flew all day yesterday. I saw the worst of the human condition, let's just put it that way. The little kid who was sitting right behind me kicked my chair so much for so long that I actually felt for a while like I was sitting in one of those massage chairs. Like a sharper image. The mother, oblivious to everything, completely oblivious, and you can't turn around and say anything to anymore, like, hey, could you please ask your out-of-control three-year-old to stop kicking the back of my chair? Because you'll start an international incident, you'll end up on YouTube, and probably dragged away in handcuffs or something. My favorite was a guy who was dressed very nicely, not, you know, formally, but a nice shirt, you know, and everything. And he had the mousse in the hair, and he was a good looking guy, very, very tall, a little bit tanned, you know, like the kind of guy who, you know, when he walks in someplace, the girls are like, all right, who's that guy? A really handsome looking guy. And he's wearing a face mask that says, forced to comply. And I felt like saying to him, yes, finally you fucking get it. You are being forced to comply. You're too stupid and self-absorbed to understand any of the science involved in this whole thing. So it comes down to that, where it's like, people can't reason with you, therefore you are forced to comply. And that's the way it's going to be. Nobody would move out of the end seats, like the window and the aisle seats. So, you know, I'm traveling with an 11-year-old girl, and you're walking down. Everybody can see what's going on. We're looking for two seats together, or even a seat on one side of the aisle and another seat on the other side of the aisle. And nobody would give up their seat. And so my daughter ended up sitting like three rows behind me on the other side of the aisle while I sat down. And it's just like the level of just rudeness. But I will say this about the babies on plane. There were a bunch of babies on the plane yesterday. You are very, very irritated by that until you have a baby and then you have to travel with that baby. And you know that everybody is like, oh no. But the big difference is parents who are sort of prepared and understand that, all right, we're going to be on this plane for over 2 hours and maybe I should figure out some ways to entertain this kid or distract him or anesthetize him or something, you know. But it comes down to the guardian, comes down to the parent as to how you're handling this situation. Because babies can be managed, I guess the word is, so that they don't just completely turn the place upside down and just ruin everybody's day. There's ways to do it. But if you have a parent sitting directly next to a three-year-old and that parent doesn't even realize that the kid is just kicking the chair in front of him nonstop, well, there's very little chance you're going to be able to get anywhere else with that parent. I remember the food in the Louisville airport being better than what I saw yesterday, and it might have something to do with places going out of business during the pandemic. I don't know. But let's just put it this way. I was, after surveying the entire airport for food, I was actually happy to find a Chili's. Now, that's desperation. And I should also point out, and I don't, you know, I don't mean for this to sound like I'm judging people, but you go to an airport Chili's in the South, and the people serving you are about the last people on earth that you would really want under any other conditions to be touching your food. And I'll just leave it at that. And more of these videos are popping up on YouTube. Big fights, people being duct taped to their seat, stuff like that, until the authorities can take over when they land. You know, the bad behavior on planes, there's no shortage of it. But I'm going to say this, the airlines aren't exactly without fault either. And I feel bad for the flight attendants that have to deal with these out-of-control drunk people, you know, who have been sitting there at the airport. Well, you know, you ask somebody to get to the airport 2 to 3 hours before their flight. You know what they're going to do? They're going to sit there and they're going to drink Bloody Marys for 2 hours, okay? And then by the time they get on the plane, they're all liquored up and somebody accidentally steps on their toe while they're trying to put something in the overhead compartment. And the next thing you know, you got somebody pounding on somebody. And while that behavior is completely inexcusable, the airlines aren't exactly without fault. You know, having destroyed every shred of human dignity from the flying experience. I'm old enough to remember when flying used to be glamorous. People would dress up to go on a plane. Now, you know, you have the shrinking room more and more. It just seems like every time I get on a plane, there is less and less room for you. The seats are more narrow. The foot space is more cramped. You used to be able to put your tray down and put a laptop computer there and get some work done. The seats on some airlines right now are so jammed in there that you can't even open a laptop. Oh, and then if the guy in front of you decides to recline his chair, well, now you're lucky if there's room for you to use your fucking cell phone. All right, there's no food anymore. You know, you might get a bag of nuts or something. Well, they can't even get nuts now because nut allergies. You get your half cup of diet slice. The flight attendants used to be nice. Some of them still are. A lot of them aren't. The flights are almost all late. And, you know, you got to get to the airport 2 hours in advance, minimum. You've been standing in line. You've been patted down. Like I said, you know, all of the every last shred of human dignity has been removed from the flying experience. Oh, yeah. And, the flights are so cheap now that hillbillies can afford to fly. And, you know, they're not controlling their kids or kicking the chair. The parent is oblivious. The whole experience is just so much more stressful and unpleasant now. And you do that to people, and they're going to eventually reach their breaking point. And again, I'm not ranting here about the idea that somehow this behavior by people is excusable. It's not. I'm just saying that the airlines themselves have to accept some degree of culpability for this whole thing. They are complicit in this whole situation. You know, I remember this from college, psychology class. you know, where you put a rat in a cage, right? And then you put two rats in the cage, and they might not be happy about it, but, you know, because now there's less room. Sometimes the rats will be able to get along. Sometimes they won't, but usually they are. But now you put the third rat in, and that's where things start getting complicated. Because usually what happens is the two previous rats, or at least two of the rats of the three in the cage, start getting irritated by the fact that there's not as much room anymore, there's not as much freedom anymore, you know, and just freedom to move around. And oftentimes what happens is two of the rats will gang up on the third rat and they'll begin defecating on him and everything. And that's what's going on here. You know, there is a breaking point. We'll just give them less room, less room, less room, less room. Look at that. We're making more money. We got an extra row of seats in there because we didn't. That's, you know, that's six more seats, six times whatever the flight costs for a ticket. That's how much more money we made. Good job, everybody. But then when people start pounding on one another, like, we can't figure out why all of a sudden. Bullshit. You know exactly why. I've been on buses and trains where the experience is more pleasant. In some cases, much more pleasant. So while I feel the flight attendants in the business, they have to deal with this stuff on a daily basis, you know, maybe your old pal JC has a couple of answers with regard to the whole thing. All right, on to COVID, because there's lots of presence of the various protocols that the airlines put in place. So an amazing statistic yesterday, this is all over the news, 53% of the people who have not gotten their vaccination, 53% say that their concerns over the vaccine's safety have kept them away. It's not substantiated by any legitimate news or information source. It's all those fringe kooks and those goofy websites and those obscure cable news networks. But 53% of the non-vaxxed people say, well, I don't trust it, which is, again, interesting. Because I can tell you, when Viagra came out, there weren't guys standing around going, well, it hasn't really been fully tested. They're like, give me a little blue pill. Give it to me. People are shooting Botox into their heads. Women bleach their hair. They bleach their taint within an inch of their lives. When Trump went out there and said, oh, yeah, the hydroxychloroquine, oh, yeah, yeah. And people were like, give it to me, give it to me. And that was proven to be ineffective, except in a very, very small handful of cases. People are shooting collagen into their bodies. But yeah, the vaccines are somehow detrimental to the human condition. And that bullshit about freedom. Come on. If you ever see a sign that says no shoes, no shirt, no service? Yeah, you're like, okay, no problem. You got to wear a seatbelt in your car. You get a ticket. People do that. If you're working in certain places, you got to wear safety goggles and safety gear. No problem with that. You got to wear a seatbelt when you're on the airline. You got to take off your shoes, your belt, anything from your pockets. You got to go through this x-ray machine. No problem. But wear a mask while you're shopping to help reduce the risk of infecting others with a potentially deadly virus. And the response from half the population is, how dare you take away my personal liberties and rights? Oh, give me a fucking break already with this. And so Biden calls out Ron DeSantis. DeSantis, who is a Trump clone and thinks he's going to be the next president, Biden calls him out, not by name, but it was very clear who he was talking about. He was talking about Greg Abbott in Texas, and he was talking about Ron DeSantis in Florida. And Biden says, okay, if you don't agree with it, that's your own business, but just whatever, just don't stand in the way of what we are trying to do. And that, oh man, he DeSantis went off like a Roman candle yesterday. And it's the Trump playbook. Never accept any blame for anything. Never admit that you're wrong. If somebody criticizes something that you do, instead of backing down and saying, well, let's see, over a three-day period, we had 50,000 cases of COVID in the state of Florida over a three-day period. Maybe I'm going in the wrong direction here. No, absolutely not. No, it's the Trump playbook. You double down. You pass laws that make it illegal to have mask mandates. Hey, you know, for a long time it was like, okay, it's nursing homes, it's old people, it's people with compromised conditions, people with diabetes, people in terrible health, and they're the ones that are most susceptible to COVID. And, you know, what do you want us to do? What do you want us to do? These poor old people are dropping like flies, and COVID just seems to be targeting those older people who are not in good physical shape. And that was one thing. Wait till the kids start dying. Oh boy, is that going to be a party. Wait till the little kids start dying. And you saw that hospital on the news the other night in, I think it was Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where the entire ICU is filled up with kids. And the disinformation, otherwise known as lies, say it with me, lies, continue to just be spewed out like a fountain from a pool, for God's sakes. But anyhow, on the DeSantis thing, they say to him, you know, what about Joe Biden? What about what Joe Biden said? You got a state down there in Florida where COVID is just exploding exponentially. You're being irresponsible to the people of the state of Florida. And DeSantis comes back with, hey, take care of the border there in Texas. It's not even his state. Take care of the border, because it's the immigrants flooding in from over the border who are bringing COVID into the United States. An accusation that doesn't even make sense and doesn't even address the question that DeSantis was asked. And here's the kicker to the story. Here's the kicker to the whole thing. Biden has expelled 900,000 migrants since he took over as president. Biden is being sued by the ACLU. Because the CDC said it's a bad idea because of the variant, bad idea to be letting people into the country right now. And so Biden is turning these people around. So much so that the ACLU, the most left-wing organization in America, is suing the president because it's like, hey, you're still doing this Trump stuff down at the border. So not only did DeSantis, you know, pull a, they ask him about COVID and he starts talking about the border. But he was also wrong. Factually, he's not even right. But this whole thing is just amazing. It's like the same arguments about gun control and abortion. Okay, you tell us all the reasons you think it's a bad idea. You know, we don't want any abortion. We don't want any gun control. But at the same time, you offer no solution. Okay, fine. You don't support gun control. Great. All right. But we have two mass shootings a week in this country, and that doesn't happen in any other country. So fine. You don't want gun control? Great. Fine. But what is your solution? And right there, everything grinds to a halt. It's like taking a wrench and throwing it into the works. The whole thing just stops and we go nowhere. Bring on the next mass shooting. Ugh. Okay, for those of you who love Pink Floyd, and I would assume that's almost everybody listening right now, Channel 9 at 9 o'clock. Yeah, Channel 9 at 9 o'clock, PBS. Dark Side of the Moon, a series they have going called Classic Albums. They ran a promo for it last night, and it really looks good. I'll try to remember to remind you tomorrow. But again, tomorrow night, today's Thursday? Wow. Yeah, I say I was traveling all week, so you lose track of the days, and it's already Thursday. Anyhow, so that's tomorrow night. Very scary moment last night. Dylan Carlson with a line drive off of the pitcher for the Atlanta Braves. This guy's Smiley. 99 miles an hour off the bat. The guy put up his glove at the very last second. Otherwise, he'd be having some plastic surgery this morning. That's what happened to me 3 years ago. Took that line drive right off the face. Concussion, the works. And there are people who want to use aluminum bats. You know, the thing about a wooden bat is there are weak spots on the wooden bat. You know, you can jam somebody as a pitcher. You know, you can jam them, get them off the narrow end of the bat, or pitch them outside and hit it off the end of the bat, and it doesn't go as hard or as far. But you have these aluminum bats that they use in college, and the entire barrel is lethal. There are no weak spots. First of all, you look at them, you couldn't make a wood bat in the same shape. Take a wooden bat and an aluminum bat and put them side by side sometime and take a look at them and then realize there are no weak spots on the aluminum bat. People are nuts who suggest things like that. And while the Cardinals continue to lose, they're now 11 games out of first place. Nolan Arenado, well, you know what? Home run number 21 last night. I think it's time everybody just, with everything bad going with the Cardinals right now, at least acknowledging the fact that that was a good trade. There wasn't much risk, by the way. You know, it's not like Nolan Arenado was going to get to St. Louis and suddenly forget how to play. And just about the time I had that thought last night, I was like, Offered that contract extension to Matt Carpenter a couple of years ago, not knowing that he was going to forget how to play baseball and forget how to hit, although he had a base hit, a stolen base, and then scored the winning run last night. Oops, did I say winning run? Go ahead, run. Should have been the winning run, but it didn't really work out that way. Did it? The announcers and the sports talk stations keep throwing out these numbers about what the Cardinals would have to do, how many games they would have to win with this many left to be able to make the playoffs. Like, all of a sudden, this team is going to get hot. Seriously, you really think so? That all of a sudden, this team is going to get hot. This team is going to end the season at least 7 or 8 games out of first place. And nothing pains me more to say, because I don't want to say that. I like baseball. You know, I love baseball and I love postseason baseball. And this is going to be a real drag. And, and by the way, I've said this before too. And this is, I think I got something here. The longer your team makes it, I'm talking about baseball, the longer your team makes it through the playoffs, the shorter winter seems. Because if you're still playing baseball in October, all the way to the end of baseball, to the end of October, and now your World Series parade, if you're lucky enough to get that far, your World Series parade is happening usually, what, in the first week of November? That's going to shorten your winter, because the next thing you know, you're going to blink and it's spring training. That's not going to be the case this year. It's going to be a long-ass winter, because baseball is going to end the first weekend in October around here. While you weren't paying any attention, Rihanna has officially become a billionaire. Her fortune estimated at $1.7 billion. She's now the richest female musician and the second richest female in entertainment, right behind Oprah. Charlie Watts, the Rolling Stones, is going to sit out this tour. He had an unspecified medical procedure. He turned 80 in June. This is something, this is just one of those head scratchers, and you say to yourself, for Christ's sakes, take care of stuff like this. It's like the St. Louis Walk of Fame in U City. There's no star for Dan Kelly, all right? Of course there should be. And again, while you weren't paying attention, Styx has been eligible for 20 years, and they've never even been nominated. Styx is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Speaking of Hall of Fame, the NFL Hall of Fame game tonight, Pittsburgh facing the Dallas Cowboys. It's almost football time. Mel Brooks releasing his first ever memoir. That's going to come out November 30th. Barack Obama canceled his 60th birthday bash because of Delta variant concerns. Instead of 700 attendees, just going to be family and close friends. Louis C.K., back on the comedy circuit. Birthdays today, James Gunn from St. Louis, fired from Guardians of the Galaxy as director, but has been since rehired for the upcoming third movie, was married to Jenna Fisher for a while. Maureen McCormick, Marsha, 65. Rick Derringer, Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo, and also a lot of work with Edgar Winter back in the day, 74. Lonnie Anderson, WKRP in Cincinnati, 76. Risky Business, with Tom Cruise, released on this date 38 years ago in 1983. Latest TikTok sensation is kids eating frozen honey. That's where you freeze a bunch of honey in a water bottle so you can snack on it and take bites. But you might not want to do it because it's giving people diarrhea. A dietitian at the Cleveland Clinic talked about it and said it's because of the sheer amount of honey people are eating and because of something called fructose malabsorption. 1 in 3 of us have an intolerance to fructose, and honey is 40% fructose. So eating too much of it too fast can cause bloating, cramping, and really bad diarrhea. The good news is it shouldn't cause any long-term effects. A children's hospital in New Zealand recently sent a friendly email to the neighboring college dormitory asking that the students close their curtains, especially during, and this is the quote, certain naked activities, end quote. And, by the way, men who ejaculate 21 times a month apparently cut their risk of prostate cancer. So technically, Pornhub is also a healthcare provider.
I banged you here, I nailed you there, and on this couch,
and in this chair,
in the doorway,
the hallway,
on every stair,
we tapped that ass all over this house. Sometimes him, sometimes me,
though never simultaneously.
But one of us was hitting it usually.
We tapped that ass all over this house.
You'll never escape us, cause we live in your head. Just two swell dudes that you screwed. Here
and here
and there
and here
and even occasionally in your bed.
That bed is really uncomfortable.
Right? It's like a prison cot.
On the stove,
over the sink,
and sort of in the fridge one time, I think.
And then we hit the back patio.
That's where we hit your back patio.
We tapped that ass all over this house.
How many times did we tap that behind?
Well, let's estimate.
On an average day, I would have to say 5, 6, 7, 8.
What? Too cheeky?
Hey, does this ring a bell?
A little to the left.
Oh, okay now. A little to the right.
Oh, wait. Back to the left.
Right there.
Wait, no, you're doing it wrong. I'll do it myself.
Barkeep, what's on tap?
It's me and my ass.
Ooh, sounds refreshing.
On the table you were willing and able.
On the ottoman you took a lot of men.
And on the safe in the closet I made a deposit.
I also tapped that ass all over this house.
Let's wrap this up with a big finish!
But where should we finish?
Please, not on my chest.
No, you'll scratch it!
On the accent wall.
On the bathroom floor.
You didn't care where.
You just wanted more.
How much more tapping could one ass endure?
We tap that ass.
Tap that ass.
Tap that ass.
Tap that ass.
We tap that ass all over this house.
Thank you, boys.
Suddenly I'm turning into Lawrence Welk here. And with that, we say, that's enough out of you, JC. That's it. We're done for the 5th of August 2021 here at jcontheline.com. Please do your best to spread the word that we're here every weekday morning. We post at 7 a.m. Monday through Friday. It's absolutely free. If you missed one of the podcasts, we archive them all right here. And wherever you get your podcasts, you can email me at jc@jcontheline.com. That's jc@jcontheline.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. That's it. Talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.